Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
Get rid of that shirt. just missed it, but that's why we're there. I'll make it easy, because I'm sitting down in a restroom. It'd been hard for him to reach in here to bless me, so I'm getting, you know, help God out a little bit. Give him a pocket to work with. I got my looked at it, $100 bill, and I thought, wow, I gotta get all the way. I got my car, because I don't want nobody else in the restroom to see me pull out a $100 bill. And I got my car, it's $100 bill, and I thought, whoa, this is awesome, man. $100 bill, thank you, Lord. I've been wanting that golf club that's on sale, and it's on sale for $100 right now, and I know you want me to have it, and thank you for the $100. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my mind and said, that is not for you. Well, he gave it to me, Lord. That's what I said out loud to God. He gave it to me. God said, you are going to be a conduit to get it to where I want it to be. And I gave it to a little couple that needed the money, that didn't have groceries in their house. God began to share in my mind what was going on, and I went and blessed them so they could be blessed. You see, everything you get into your little greasy hands don't mean it's for you to spend and throw away or blow or do whatever with. Hello? I had a pastor friend of mine the other day tell me, he said, I hate the month of June, July, and August. He said, I don't even start getting happy again until after Labor Day. I said, well, why do you hate those books? He said, because all the tithe in the church goes to Mickey Mouse, to the mountains. Hello? I said, are you kidding me? People take their tithe and go to Disney World. He said, uh-huh. He said, we drop about 28% to 30% in giving during those months. He said, you tell me where that tithe is going. I said, it's going on vacation. That's where it's going. Kind of like a little joke a guy told me one time. He said, the dollar bill and the $20 bill were talking, and the dollar bill, the $20 bill said to the dollar bill, what did you do this summer? He said, I went to church. And the dollar bill said to the $20 bill, what did you do this summer? He said, I went to Disney World, I went to the mountains, I went on vacation. Do y'all get that? Now, you said people don't do that. Oh, yes, they do. Now, first of all, I have a hard time understanding, and maybe you can help me. Maybe somebody in here can have this service come up and tell me the answer to this. Why is it that people want to spend what don't belong to them? I don't get that. Because let me tell you what happens. The Bible says in the book of Elijah, anybody know where that book's at? Yeah, Malachi. The last book in the Old Testament. Read it, chapter 3. Read it. It says the tithe belongs to the Lord. Now, I don't get this. People get so upset, Pastor, when you start talking about money in church. Now, you're going to get mad. More than likely, some of you probably get mad. But I'm okay with that because I'm leaving after lunch. So I'm all right with it. But I feel like I should do what God tells me to do on Tuesday this week. God told me to share what I'm sharing with you today. God said, you share this, and if I don't do what I'm supposed to do, and God tells me, then I'm going to answer to God for what I didn't do. The Bible says we're going to answer Him for every deed we do on this earth, good and bad. So I don't want to be held accountable for not telling you the truth. And I don't get why people don't have their problem. And I had one guy say to me, well, brother, I can't afford to die. I said, brother, you can't afford not to die. Because it ain't your money to start with, it's God's money. But my tithe belongs to the Lord. I was in Thibodaux, Louisiana, and this guy, after service, came up to me, and I did not preach on tithing. I was doing something else. I was preaching another sermon, but I just happened to mention in my sermon about tithing. I just kind of went over it. I didn't dwell on it. And he looked me at the church. He walked right down this aisle right here. And because they had similar sections like you do. And I'm standing there. They're shaking hands. People are greeting one another. And he looked at me and he said, "Who are talking to you?" Well, I knew by the tone of his voice he wasn't no tither. And I knew something fitted him. And I knew it couldn't have been anything else in my message. And so I said, "Okay." He said, "I don't understand this kind of thing. I don't get it." I said, "Okay, Bubba, you sit down right there. Now, here's the thing. You find a Cajun named Bubba, that's a miracle. But most people are Thibodeaux and Boudreaux and Fontenot and all those good things." I said, "All right, Bubba, you sit down right there." Now, here's what he told me later. He said, "When you call me Bubba," I did not know his name was Bubba. nice of him. He knows your name. And it amazes how God will take things and use it for his benefit. I sat there and explained to him all about tithing, all about what it was for, what he needed to do, everything about tithing. And when we got through, I said, "Bob, what'd you make this week?" He said, "I made $1,000. I said, "That's your grocery you need." He said, "Well, that's my growth." He said, "Why do you want to know that?" I said, "Because the Bible says you bring the first fruits into your house. And not after they take out your taxes, not after they take out all your stuff, all your union dues, all your insurance. No, 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 Bubba. You pay on the growth." He said, "Oh, okay." Because, I mean, this thing is simple like that. The whole thing is simply the first fruits come into the storehouse. And then he said to me, after that, he said, "Well," he said, "let me ask you this." He said, "Where does that money go? What do they do with that tithe?" He said, "I want to know what they're going to do with my money." I said, "Bubba, once you give it, it ain't your money. It's over with. What they do with it, they're going to answer to God for it. If they don't spend it right, God's going to take care of them. You're clear. Once you give it, you're clear with God, and favor's going to increase in your life, Bubba." I remember saying that to him one before I ever had a sermon on favor. And he said, "Wow." He said, "That's pretty good." I said, "Let me ask you something, Bubba." And I said, "It's 102 degrees outside. Did you like his air conditioning you got in this church this morning?" "Oh, yeah." He said, "It's nice and cool." I said, "You'll try to pay for this air conditioning." He said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "You like it when it's warm and it's cold outside here?" "Yeah." I said, "If you get sick, if you call Pastor Rose, would he come see you and pray for you?" "Oh, yeah, Pastor, come in a minute." I said, "You'll try to pay for that, Bubba. Pastor gets the salary. He's got to have salary. The staff, they got to have salary. It takes care of the needs of the church. It takes care of the needs of homeless people in the church. It takes care of people that need stuff in the church. That's where your tithe goes, Bubba." He said, "Bubba." He said, "It's unbelievable." I said, "You got a checkbook, Bubba?" He said, "Yeah, reached his back pocket and his checkbook." I took his checkbook and I wrote out a check for $100. I said, "Here, sign this." He said, "What's that for?" I said, "That's your tithe. You made $1,000. You owe God $100. God's letting you keep $900, Bubba. You get a whole lot more back than you get." He said, "Yeah, that's true." He said, "What I gotta do?" I said, "Sign it." And on the way out of church, I handed it to Pastor Rose. I said, "Here's $100 check, Bubba, your new tither." And did you know what? I checked them 2 years ago, and Pastor told me that Bubba was the biggest giver in their church. Because he found out that not just tithing works, but giving above your tithe works. And that does. Pastor shared something with me last night, and I can't remember exactly what we were talking about, but something when you give 10%, that's just obeying, and you don't start sacrificing until you get 11% and above. That's when you start sacrificing. You say, "Well, I got things I want to do." Well, let me tell you how God is. God will never let you do without when you pay your tithe and you give above your tithe. I don't challenge anybody in here today, this room right here. I don't know who tithes and who don't tithe. God ain't showed me that. You know, better be careful. God may show me. You know, I had one old boy sitting there one night, I was preaching, and I was talking about giving. And that boy, I mean, he had a sour look on his face the whole time. I mean, he just thought, "Well, my Lord, he must not be no tither at all. He's better than him right now." You know, and he was upset. Because I would take church time to talk about giving. Can I tell you something? The same book that's got salvation in it, it's got giving in it. There's one scripture on salvation in there, John 3:16:1. Read it. That's another gospel, but that's the scripture. But there's over 270 scriptures in there on giving. I think God thought it was important. He would be putting it in there. So I just know what God will do. God will bless you. He'll bless your soul. I'm riding in my car today. I said, "God," I said, "I want more favor. I want more favor. I want more favor on me. I want more favor on my kids. I want more favor on my grandkids." Now, any of y'all here have grandkids besides me? I'm saying, if you have grandkids, it's not a trick question. You're not volunteering for anything. I just want to tell you why you got grandkids. You got them because you didn't kill those who lived in your house. That's why you got them. If you don't wipe them out, you wouldn't have no grandkids. And I always thought I had the grandkids first. If I could have bypassed the kids and went straight to grandkids, that'd been fine with me. I wouldn't have been wonderful. Just think about it. You would have never had to change diapers. said, God's answering our prayer. You're getting back what you gave us. The way you treated us, that's why she's getting you back. She said, Dad, I was never like that. I said, oh, no, no. I'm going to show you a little video or two. You know, if Dad, you're right now, you're just like that little girl. But here's the whole thing. I said, God, you want more favor. One more favor. And God said, okay, get more. I asked God this. I said, God, why did you choose to run the church on money? I would love to know so I can tell people. And God said, because money is the hardest thing for people to let go of that serve me, and especially for the kingdom. They don't want to let it go. But if they want something, like a new shotgun or a four-wheeler or a new this or a new that, nothing wrong with that stuff, they'll go get it. But don't dare ask them to give me an extra car note for the kingdom. Or don't dare ask them to give extra for the kingdom. No. No. He said, because it's the hardest thing for them to do. But he said, once they do it, it breaks the hold of Satan in their life and keeps them from not being blessed, but being blessed. Because see, once you don't tithe, and once you don't give above your tithe, you tie God's hands. It's like putting handcuffs on God. His word, this book, will not let him bless you. He cannot bless you. He can't. Because you're not doing what you're supposed to do. And there's conditions to get this ever-increasing favor. And the conditions are, we have to give. We have to give. Now, how old are you, sweetheart? Well, you both got how old are you? 17. And both of them took a child with baby support. Both these girls. Now, I don't know where they're going to get $39 a month. They may have jobs. You do. You have a job. Okay, you want to trust God. And it'll happen. I promise you. You watch what happens. You just watch what happens. When you give of your time, whatever money comes into your hands, you give 10% of it. And you give of it, you watch what God does. I'm telling you, it'll happen. That job will increase. Raises will come. That's what God does. My wife and I did not plan this. If we had planned it, it probably wouldn't have worked. But for the last 2 years, we have given 50% away of everything we own, and we've lived on 50% for 2 years. And we're totally out of debt. Totally out of debt. We built a house 13 years ago. God moved on a man's heart and paid our house off. Paid it off. Not long after that, I told my wife, I said, God spoke to me in January of that year. And I went to her, I was in the kitchen. I said, God told me he's going to give me a new car. She said, well, what is he giving us? I said, it's like nothing about us. He said, me. Nothing about us. You need a good car. January through December, I never got that car. Until December. I got a phone call in December. The last of the month, I got a phone call. God told me, he said, you indeed been good to us. We love y'all. Y'all blessed us. We want to buy you the car. We want to buy your car. So go get what you want. I went and bought one that day. $38,000 was some odd cents. And they paid for it. You say, well, God did that for me. You don't know what God will do. You don't have a clue what God will do. Here's the deal. When you give above your tithe, and tithe belongs to God, it doesn't belong to me. It just doesn't. Why would I keep something that doesn't belong to me? This brother told me for a service, and I'm going to use him for this illustration. He told me for a service he had a weed eater. Any of y'all got weed eaters in here? Okay, I don't own a weed eater. I don't own a lawnmower. I pray for $35 extra every month so I can give it to Stephen to cut my grass. Because I travel 45 weeks a year and I'm never home to cut the grass. I'm there, but I don't want to be cutting it when I am there. And so I said, God, just give me $35 and I'll bless Stephen and his family. Because they're good Christian people. Stephen's a tither. His wife's a tither. Their givers are above their tithe. So I said, Lord, help me bless them. And that's what I do. But if I went over and borrowed his weed eater, and 10 years later I still got his weed eater, what would you call me? what you call, yeah, what you call me? A thing, thank you. That's exactly the right answer. You get an A in this class. A thing, these are my big units, still his weed eater. Oh no, but I bought it and I knew it was not my weed eater and I never took it home. Hello? There's a lot of people in the churches today around America need to give God his weed eater back. But they've taken that time, money, and spent both. And can I tell you what's going to happen? Can you hear me? You probably, Pastor, won't let his wife come back because you say, well, they won't back this thing back no more. Here's the thing. You spend God's time, it's going to come back and haunt you. You're going to have problems. I'm just telling you. You're going to have problems. And you can't blame it on nobody but yourself. If John 3:16 has been enough to get my sins forgiven, which it is, and get my life right with God, then I've got to obey the rest of those scriptures in there too. I just can't take one scripture level in. I've got to obey the rest of it, and I've got to obey it in the giving part. Because I want favor, I want to be blessed. You think my house would have got paid off if I'd have been holding my tithe and my offerings away from God? Never would that house have got paid off. And like I said, we just built 13 years ago, we owed a few hundred thousand dollars. Or whatever it was, we owed them. This man paid it off. We are in debt, and now we're totally debt-free. Now we don't know how we gave away 50%. We just, every time, Pastor, every time God told us to give, we gave. We would give. Every time. And it was always there. It was always. And a lot of times, I pay my tithe on my credit card because I want the points. I was in Africa a few weeks ago, not long ago, and I paid my tithe. I thought, oh, it's something I got to pay my tithe. So I just, I changed my tithe into my church from Africa. And she got it the next morning. But she sent me back a note and said, hey, I got your tithe. What are you doing in Africa? I said, well, I'm over here down here in these pillows. So I'm just telling you. Just telling you. It just, every time God said, do it, we did it. And it's every time that credit card bill comes to you, there's always money in the bank to write the check and pay it every time. I don't have to pay half of it. It's always enough to pay all of it. Because that's what God does. And can I tell you something? God don't love me anymore than he loves you. He loves you the same as he loves me. God ain't going to do for me the more he'll do for you when we obey the scriptures. When we do what we're supposed to do, God's going to give to us. He's going to cause men. That's what Samuel. He said, I gave Samuel favor, not just with me, but with men. People walk up to you and hand you, you'll get checks in the mail. I'm telling you, we do all the time. We get checks in the mail. I went to my mailbox one day when I lived in Alexandria. By the way, the Browns are here. They're, Mickey used to be my secretary. She'll tell you, I'm a giver. She knows what I did. So she handled my stuff. But here's the thing, Becky, I'll tell you this. I went to my mailbox in Alexandria, Louisiana, when I lived there. There was a check in there for $500. And it was from Rodney Fowles, a pastor in Oklahoma. He said, you know Rodney? He said to me, he said, Gary, this morning in prayer, God told me to send you $500. I don't know why you need it. But he said, it's yours. Do whatever you do with it. I'm just obeying God. And I thought, Lord, I don't know why I need $500. I don't have a clue. And then God said, you'll find that. And so not long after that, I did find that. Because that lady right there, sitting beside Mickey, honey, raise your hand so they can see you. That lady right there was diagnosed with cancer. They gave her 4 months to live. 4 months. That was 22 years ago. She's been cancer-free for 22 years. They took out half of her colon. And where they removed 3 feet of a 6-foot colon, they could not, by the medical books, you're not supposed to stretch it and put it back together or anything like that. You're supposed to bag her for the rest of her life. She would have had to call the neostomy bag and a colostomy bag, everything for the rest of her life. She would have had that. The doctor was spirit-filled. God spoke to him and said, don't you do it. Stretch that 3 feet, clamp it, and sew it. It will work. That was on a Sunday afternoon emergency surgery. On Tuesday, the thing worked, and it's worked every day since. man on radio by the name of Paul Harvey. If you're old enough in here, you'll know that name. He used to say, now for the rest of the story. Well, here's the rest of the story. 1 year later, she goes back in for a colonoscopy, and the doctor that did the surgery came out and said to me, I got good news and I got great news. He said, the good news is she has no polyps, no cancer, nothing. She's clear as she can be. And he said, but the great news is the 3 feet that I cut out of her body is back in there. And polyps do not grow back, folks. They don't replenish themselves. God gave her even another colon, and in her thing, everything, and he said, all I can tell you, that's a creative miracle of God, because no man can do that. Only God can restore somebody's body back into there. And you know what God said to me? It's because y'all gave. Because in the book of Philippians, chapter number 4, Paul says to the church at Philippi, he said, I appreciate all you've done for me. I appreciate your gifts. I appreciate the food. I appreciate the clothes. He said, but more than anything, he said, I'm more excited about what's going to be added to your account than what you gave to me. That's the whole kicker right there. You have an account with God. When she got sick, God said to me, I put healing in her account. Go to her account and draw the healing out. I put that healing there. The day stripes were bore on my back. Go get them because they're hers. And God healed her because we were givers. God said, because of your giving, because of your faithfulness, because of what you do, not just giving of our money, but giving of our time, giving of our abilities, giving of our talents. Let me tell you something today. God's favor will jump all over you. He'll chase you down to the grocery store to bless you. You just got to give him the opportunity. But if you don't give, you can't. He cannot bless you. He cannot do that. And it grieves the heart of God when he can't bless you. He wants you to have everything. He wants you to be blessed. He may pay your house off. He may give you a new car. He may give you an extra $500 this week on your paycheck. He may give you a bonus coming in the mail. I had a guy this morning told me at D-Live Service, he said, I was in a church not long ago. He said, God spoke me to give $200 to their need. They were trying to pay their church bills off. He said, God told me to give $200. And he said to God, now God, you know I got $200. And God said, yeah, I'm telling you to give it. He said, I gave it. I got home. He said, on Monday in the mail, I got a check from the electric company that says, oh, we made a mistake back in the so many days before that, back months before, and we made a mistake, and here's $217 refund coming back to you. God give him back his $217 more. He guarded any mistake on that. That's what we think. Taking $17 won't be a mistake. And God don't care if you do that. Once you give, God just blesses you and blesses you and blesses you. Amen. I know it's 12 o'clock, just hold tight. Okay? Just hold steady. But here's the whole thing. I just want you to be blessed. I want you to have what we have. We would never have had a spade farm. I'd never have that car if it were not for our giving. It would have never happened. And I just go from never made me do that because I've never had one person call me and say, brother, I haven't been blessed physically, financially, and mentally. I've been blessed ever since I started tithing. Ever since I started giving above my tithe, I've been blessed. And God will bless you, amen. I said, He'll bless you, stand with us.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.